pressure to keep the towers open is growing. Solar Impulse to carry over 14,000 friends and saving the last of its type World War II German bomber. This is Aero News for Tuesday, May 7th, 2013. I'm Glenn Moyer. 70 mayors and community leaders from around the country whose communities would be affected by the FAA's potential scheduled closure of contract air traffic control towers have written a letter to FAA Administrator Michael Huerta, expressing concern over the impact of these potential closures on their communities. The letter highlights the vital role of local airports to businesses, organizations, emergency services, and the economy as a whole. The scheduled tower closures are the result of mandatory across-the-board budget cuts, otherwise known as sequestration, and would affect 149 airports nationwide. The closures are currently scheduled to take effect on June 15th. The letter, released by the Alliance for Aviation Across America, states in part, quote, "Shutting down these towers would have a devastating impact on our communities, as these airports and the aircraft that use them serve as a critical lifeline to our communities for everything from firefighting, law enforcement, medical care, disaster relief, aerial surveying and crop protection, and flight training, among many others. Aviation and our local airports are a critical economic lifeline for these communities, and we simply cannot afford this type of devastating blow at a time when our communities are already struggling to recover. We ask you to reconsider this decision in light of these concerns, and look forward to working with you on this and other matters related to our communities." End quote. By crossing the United States in Solar Impulse, pilots Andre Borschberg and Bertrand Picard are launching the Clean Generation Initiative, a global awareness-raising movement advocating for greater investment in innovative technologies for sustainable energy production and use. According to the project's organizers, 14,212 supporters worldwide, well, make that 14,213 as I just signed up, have joined the movement, and their names will be virtually brought by the pilots across America by means of a USB key. With every stopover, more will be added. All of those interested in being part of this movement can sign up at www.solarimpulse.com/join_us. Solar Impulse completed the first leg of its U.S. flight on Friday, with Bertrand Picard piloting the leg from San Francisco to Phoenix. Next, it's on to Dallas, St. Louis, Washington, D.C., and New York. Picard and Borschberg will alternate piloting the aircraft. The Royal Air Force Museum in London is set to begin a salvage operation that could bring a Dornier DO-17 bomber up from the bottom of the English Channel for eventual display at the museum. Writing in a blog for the museum, Director General Peter Dye says that the facility is poised to begin the recovery effort of the only known remaining example of the Dornier DO-17. Many of those that were shot down during the war were salvaged, smelted, and turned into British fighters that went on to help defeat the Germans. Dye writes that, quote, "First, the aircraft must be carefully raised from the destructive tides of the English Channel. Then it must be packed in a special chemical gel and plastic sheeting to protect it from the air before it begins its long journey by road to the museum's Cosford site," end quote. Once there, the plane will be carefully positioned in a specially constructed hydration tunnel where the aircraft will be on display to the public as 70 years of underwater grime will be washed away over the next 2 or 3 years. Only then will the real restoration begin. Dye says that the cost of the project is significant, quote, "but its value lies not only in preserving a unique artifact of national and international importance, but also in what it has taught us and what we have yet to learn," end quote. No specific date was given for the onset of the recovery operation. Meanwhile, a 30-year-old Michigan man is organizing a recovery team to rescue a downed B-25 from Alaska. This June, Patrick Mihalik from Brighton, Michigan, is planning to attempt to recover a nearly 70-year-old North American B-25J Mitchell bomber from her remote crash site. This World War II-era bomber has been nicknamed Sandbar Mitchell. After serving her duties with the U.S. Army Air Force from 1944 to 1959, she was one of several B-25s used in Alaska in the late 1960s to help fight forest fires. On June 27th of 69, she experienced a double engine failure. Rather than landing in the river or in the forest, the pilot landed gear up on a small dry sandbar in the middle of the Tanana River. He walked away, but the right wing was damaged and the forward fuselage was wrinkled. After removing her engines, propellers, and wheels, she was abandoned, though over the years she has been further damaged by souvenir seekers. Mihalik and his associate, Todd Trainer, said in a news release that they hope to rebuild her to flying status. She will fly as Sandbar Mitchell under the public trust for the nonprofit Warbirds of Glory Museum. A crowdfunding campaign has launched on Kickstarter.com to help raise the cash needed for the recovery operation. Pinnacle Airlines is now part of Delta. The regional airline, which has been flying as Delta Connection, emerged from bankruptcy Wednesday and became a part of Delta after the mainline carrier gave Pinnacle $74.3 million in financing and agreed to add 40 CRJ-900 regional jets to Pinnacle's fleet. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution reports that the deal was reached earlier this year, with Delta agreeing to invest $52 million in the smaller carrier. When Aero News continues, what's next for Terrafugia? The FAA issues an SAIB for the Cessna T206H, and the Jet Man cometh.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
We're back with more of Aero News for Tuesday, May the 7th. I'm Glenn Moyer. While they have yet to field a production flying car for the masses, the folks at Terrafugia are already looking at what's next. Terrafugia, currently in development of the Transition Street Legal Airplane, has begun feasibility studies on a four-seat, vertical takeoff and landing, plug-in, hybrid electric flying car, the TFX. Incorporating the state-of-the-art in intelligent systems, fly-by-wire controls, and currently available technology, the TFX will further increase the level of safety, simplicity, and convenience of personal aviation. The FAA has issued a special airworthiness information bulletin, SAIB CE-13-07R1, for Cessna T206H airplanes, saying that there is the potential for in-flight fires as a result of failure of the V-band coupling, that's the V-band clamp, securing the tailpipe to the turbocharger or the wastegate elbow at the wastegate valve. The bulletin is the result of an in-flight fire on a Cessna T206H with only 1,000 hours time in service since new. Investigation revealed the V-band coupling that secures the tailpipe to the turbocharger housing had failed in flight. The FAA says that, as part of all normal pre-flight inspections of the nose section, an item for the co-pilot's nose area of the cowling is to reach under the airplane to check the tailpipe for security in its mounting bracket. A loose tailpipe or easily displaced tailpipe should be brought to the attention of maintenance personnel prior to any further operations. Well, the Jet Man cometh. Eve Jetman Rossi, the world's first jet-powered man, will make his first public U.S. flights this summer at EAA's AirVenture in Oshkosh, showcasing the cutting edge of human flight at the world's greatest aviation celebration on July 29th through August 4th. Using a carbon Kevlar jet wing with four engines, each of which is capable of 22 kilograms of thrust, the Swiss aviator is able to propel himself through the sky at upwards of 150 miles per hour, controlled by a simple throttle in his hand. The rest of the controls are left to the human fuselage, Rossi himself, who simply uses his shoulders, body, and legs to steer, pitch, and maintain controlled flight. Complete details on the AirVenture flight schedule will be announced as it is finalized. Along with his appearance at Oshkosh, Jetman will fly in the U.S. at the Reno Air Races in September. I'm Glenn Moyer. Thanks for listening. You're now cleared for departure.